As the Olympics in Tokyo wind down in about a week, the Paralympics are just around the corner later this month. They'll showcase some of the world's top athletes who live with disabilities. One team is still fairly new to the Games, the Paralympic Refugee Team. It debuted in 2016 in Rio. Sharad Nazashpour is among the six athletes on the team this year. He's an Iranian refugee living in Arizona. He'll be competing in the discus throw. Sharad, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me here today. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. You were born with cerebral palsy, which limits your mobility on the left side of your body. And I understand that when someone first suggested that you try throwing sports, the discus, you were not thrilled with the idea. Tell me about that.
Well, that time I went to actually play ping pong, just not on a team, just, you know, just play ping pong with some other kids. Then the person actually introduced me to track and field and throwing was a throwing coach. He noticed me, so he told me, okay, if you like, I have a training camp, you can join us, see if you like it, you know. I said, okay, let's try that. So when I tried that, I didn't like it that much because it was hard to, you know, spin the disc. It has a technique, which finger it should come off your finger. You know, it's all about technique. It's from your, you know, toes to your fingers, you know, everything, the power, you know, the speed, everything. So I didn't like it because I couldn't throw well. So then I tried a couple of more times, you know, I think it took about a few weeks to learn basic things. Then from that point, I think I thought, okay, I like it. I like doing that. I want to do it. You know, it's fun to throw something, you know, as far as you can. So I stayed there. I did my best. I made the Iranian team in 2011. I went to two international competitions with the team. Then I left Iran after 3 years, actually, in 2015.
So how far can you throw that discus?
Well, my personal best in the competition is 48.58, but I have over 50 meters marks. At the moment, I'm the U.S. national record holder, and I got multiple U.S. national titles and international titles as well. And hopefully in about less than 2 years, I get citizenship. I will try to be on Team USA soon.
Can you tell right away when you've got a good throw? Can you just feel it?
Yes, any throwers, you know, when you throw, you can feel it. Okay, you cannot say, okay, how far exactly, but you know, okay, it's going to be a good throw, yeah.
That's kind of easy. How have you been able to work through your mobility issues in sports?
Well, you know, it's, of course, like any other Paralympian athletes, you always have, you know, some limitations. But at some point, you have to forget about what your limits are and push your limits. I mean, okay, this is my weaker side or weaker part. Okay, that's all, okay. But I have the other side, and I can use the actually the weaker part of my body to make it better. And, you know, it's interesting if I told you this, you know, in throwing, I throw is my right side, but, you know, one of the main part of my throw is in my left side because I have to make a good block in the final, you know, to release the disc. So so I just push my limit to have the best limit I can on my left side, which is my weakest side. So we have to push our limits. You know, we don't need to think about, okay, I cannot do that, or this is my limit. If your mindset is like that, so you cannot progress, I mean, much in your life.
Yeah, I hear that. I wonder if there are any parallels to other challenges that you've faced in your life. You know, you had to flee your country of Iran and try to get to the U.S. and seek asylum. Tell me about that journey and why you left your home.
Well, you know, one of the reasons I left, I was deprived from the national team because I didn't comply with the, you know, doing the religious stuff on the team. And I decided I had to leave because otherwise, I don't know where I was today if I didn't leave, you know.
Yeah. Can you help me understand what exactly Iran was forcing you to profess or to believe in to be a member of the national team? Did they want you to say, I'm a devout Muslim, but you felt something else, like you were Christian or you didn't believe? What was the conflict?
Let me give you an example. going to the meet and, okay, you are Christian or if you're not or whatever, but, you know, in the game, they told you, hey, you have to every day go into the church or doing this with, you know, you have to. If you're not doing that, if you are absent, you will be out of the team regardless of your performance or, you know, stuff like that.
So what freedoms then do you have as an athlete in the United States of America that you did not or would not have in Iran?
You can train anywhere, everywhere, whatever you want to, or, you know, just be yourself, you know. Not, for example, not, you know, deprived from the team. If whatever you believe in, whatever your point of view is, whatever your point of politic view are, you know, it doesn't matter. They look at you as an athlete. Just, you know, whatever you are, it's the things important matter is the performance. Like the trials in the U.S. I think that making the team USA, for especially for Olympics, is the hardest one in the world because everyone going for trials are top, you know, at least top eight in the world. But at the end of the day, just only three people that make in the team will make the team. So it means the performance matters, that nothing else.
Is your family here with you in the U.S.?
No, I actually came here by myself.
You must miss home?
Yeah, I miss them a lot, yeah. But I saw them in 2019 when I was in Dubai for the games.
Tell me more. What is it like to be away from the people that you love?
Well, you know, it's very hard because you don't see them and you have not much of communication. But I think, you know, like I should be grateful for the applications, you know, internet. I can see them more often, you know, through, the, you know, my phone. But it's still, you know, it's really hard because, for example, I have to be look out for everything. You know, you have nobody to have your back when you leave. Alone, I mean, by yourself, you have no family or you have friends, of course, you know, you make friends, but you have to be watch for everything by yourself. And, you know, it makes it maybe harder.
So people who are listening to your inspiring story in so many ways, not only physically, athletically, but also personally and politically, what do you want people listening to this to learn from you?
Well, the things I always follow in my life. Any time, because everybody fail in their life in different points, but do not get disappointed. And you, when you hear a lot of no's, you know, whatever you want to do. Well, if you want to accept those no answers, you will not get where you want to. I get those no answers many times, even right now through different ways, you know, even, you know, people I'm working with or anything I want to do. So just do not take those no answers as a response. Just go get it, I think, is the best thing in life you can do.
Well, thank you for that. Sharad Nazajpour is an Iranian refugee who is now living in Arizona, one of the six members of the Paralympic refugee team. He will compete in the discus throw later this month in Tokyo. Sharad, thank you so much. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much, Abhi. Yeah, thank you for having me today. Thanks.
And from Tokyo, there was news today that an athlete from Belarus is planning to seek asylum. Her name is Kristina Timanovskaya. She's a 24-year-old Olympic sprinter who asked for police protection at the airport after her country forced her to pull out from competition. The Belarus Olympic Committee said it was because of her emotional and psychological state. But Timanovskaya says she was pulled because she was critical about one of her coaches on social media, and she's afraid to go back to her home country. Mark Adams is an International Olympic Committee spokesperson who said this about the situation during a news conference.
The IOC in Tokyo 2020 will continue their conversations with her and the Japanese authorities to determine the next step in the upcoming days.
For now, Timanovskaya is safe, staying at the Polish embassy in Tokyo. Poland has granted her a humanitarian visa, and she has plans to go there in the coming days.